Tina?
Is it Minatora or is it Midrabanan? We find here a total of four sheikhs based on the Gemara. Seem to be conflicting Gemaras. One place the Gemara seems to say that if someone married a Messina, he's in violation of the Easter Midaraisa of Los Satin Bom. That you may not marry individuals who converted from the seven nations. And this seems to be the conclusion of Rava and Yevamos Ayin Vav, that the Girusan, based on the Gemara, seems to be conflicting Gemaras. One place the Gemara seems to say that if someone married a Messina, he's in violation of the Easter Midaraisa of Los Satin Bom. That you may not marry individuals who converted from the seven nations. And this seems to be the conclusion of Rava and Yevamos Ayin Vav, that the Girusan, when they have converted, that is when the Easter Chasnas applies. This is indicated also by, as Tosafot points out, by the Mishnah and Makkos, that someone gets Malkus for a Nesina, sounds as an Issa Min HaTorah. On the other hand, the Gemara says in the Sefer Yevamos, the Nesinim David Gadar Aleihem. David HaMelech is the one who instituted the Yisr, which indicates that it's the Rabbanan. So the solution to this problem is subject of some controversy amongst the Rishonim. We saw really four basic sheets. The Rambam asking that the entire Yisr of the Sinim is only Midir Rabbanan. It's only the Rabbanan. And any Gemara which indicates to the contrary, presumably it's Shaloka Halacha. You don't pass them that way. All other Rishonim claim that the Eastern Nesina is Minatora. What then do you do with the fact that it's only there as David HaMelech? The area divides into three opinions. Rabbi Natan, quoted in Altosis and Ksuvas Chavtes, says that the Eastern of Nesina is Midoraisa. When it says David Gazar Aleim, it means David Gazar Aleim Avdus. David made them into perennial, permanent servants. But the Issur itself, to marry them, is a Torah prohibition. The Ramban and Yevamos Ayin Chetz says no. The Gemara is mashmal, even the prohibition itself is midirabona. But there's another Gemara that says Doraisa. So the Ramban is as follows. The original convert, the Nesina who converted herself, she is prohibited Minatora. However, next generations, Minatora are permissible. No one has mentioned anything about what we call Doros. When it comes to Mamzer, it says you can't marry for 10 generations, and it always says you can't marry Ad Olam, it says things of this nature. When it comes to Nesina, there's no mention of the Minatora, only the first generation is prohibited. Subsequent generations are permitted Minatora, and are only prohibited Midirabonim. So writes the Ramban. I just happened to notice yesterday in the publication called Mesorah, which has tradition from the Rav Shalita, the new one just came out. They have a piece on this very point. A part of which I quoted to you, if you remember, I mentioned something about Psuadaka Kohen can marry a Gioret, and the Psuadaka Yisrael can marry a Nesina. The Gemara seems to compare the two, and the Rav explained Pshat that with respect to a Kohen. So a Gioris is any Gioris from any nation is considered that she lacks Kedusha Yisrael, not enough Kedusha for the Kohen. There's a Ptuadaka, he himself does not have much Kedusha, then he may marry the Gioris. Same with the Ptuadaka Yisrael, cannot marry a Nesina. Why? Because the Nesina somehow lacks in Kedusha Yisrael. That's the nature of the Din. Whereas, if the Doesn't work? Okay. So the Tzuadaka can marry a Nestina once again because he doesn't have a full level of Kedusha. That's what we had mentioned at the time. I saw this I never heard before. The Rav said Pshat and the Ramban the same way. So the nature of the Eastern Nestina, according to the Ramban, the Ramban holds on to the Rabbanan. But the Ramban on the level of the Raisa says the nature of the Eastern Nestina is a lack of Kedusha Yisrael. Because although there was a Gerus, but since the Gerus is from one of the seven nations, so the nature of the Eastern Torah is that you're considered with respect to Yisro Chitin, not to be fully Jewish. And therefore his Nisro goes to Tzchatan. But therefore the Rav added that it makes sense why the second generation is different. Because the second generation comes from two Jewish parents. The father and the mother already had converted before this child came into the world. And as a result, the Ramban of the Minna Torah, there is no Yisro in the subsequent generation. And the Rabbanon, they prohibit subsequent generations as well. Okay, I just wanted to make an extra ha'orah just to look at the Masorah which just came out. Mm-hmm. But again, to review, according to the Rambam, it's all the Rabbanon. According to the Rabbi Natan, it's all the Raisa. According to the Rambam, the original generation is the Raisa, and the subsequent generations are the Rabbanon. And also there was an Amos. There goes an Iskim on the subsequent generations, according to the Rambam. The fourth opinion is the Sheet of the Ravid, which Rambam quotes there in Yeromet Ayin Ches as well. The Ravid says that Minatorah, the Sinim are Usur because their conversion was for ulterior motives. But Minatorah, if they reconvert subsequently, then Mutarv Lava Bakal. They reconvert, in other words, a pure motivation. And the Rabbanan said, no, we're not going to accept such converts, even subsequently, even if they're sincere, we're not to accept any converts from these nations. That's the nature of the Issa Midrabbana. We'll come back to the Rabbi at the greater length a little bit later. But just in terms of the basic Shitas, there are four Shitas in the Rishonim as to the Issa of Nestina. According to Rambam, it's totally Midrabbana. According to Tosafot, it's totally Midaraisa. And David only made Abdus. According to Rambam, the Gemara says Midaraisa, we don't pass them like. According to Ramban and the Rabbi, no, they're both right. It's the Rabbana and the Midaraisa. Ramban is the Raisa, the original generation, and the subsequent generations are the Rabbanon. And the Ravid says, and the Raisa, the Yisra is when there's an insincere conversion, the Rabbanon said, even if it comes sincere, it's still not to be accepted. It's still prohibited, it's unbiblical. This is the question of an Estina, what we call Big Gerusa, after conversion. But in this context, we have to discuss at least briefly the issue of what we call Big Gerusa. Don't forget, the Gemara has at least a Havamina, according to the Ramah to Matskana also, that the Isser of Los Eschadon applies Bigiyusan, when they're not Jewish. So what in fact is the bottom line in that case? A woman who's not Jewish, whether she's in Estina, or whether she's from a different nation, what's the halachic status? Again, we're going to discuss on the level of the Raisa and the level of the Rabbona. Some of the Rabbanan is certainly us, at least. Let's just get that straight. The Chazal said that in all cases, any relations with a non-Jewish person is prohibited. The question we're going to discuss now is what's the status of the Daraisa, what's the source of the Daraisa. So the Rambam says, in that same parak Yibayin of Surabiyah, that the nature, that there's an Issa Midaraisa, we call the Derech Ishus, in a matter which is akin to marriage, and it's based on the pasuk of Los Eschatim Ba. Los Eschatim Ba refers to Big Yusam. Right. Moreover, to the Rambam, it applies to all nations. It's not limited to the seven nations, it applies to all nations. So that's the Rambam. It's a double Kiddush in Rambam. One, that Los Eschatim applies when the person's not Jewish, which is not clear, no controversy in the Gemara and Yavama Sayyidah. And two, it applies to all nations of the world. The Tur disagrees twice. The Tur says both establishments of the Rambam are incorrect. Number one, the Los Eschatim applies to the status of a Nestina Big Gerusa, one of the seven nations after conversion. Before conversion, there's no way to Los Eschatim. And two, It's limited to the seven nations. It does not apply to all nations of the world. So Rambam is wrong twice, says the Torah. How does one defend the Rambam? Right. The Rambam, concludes against the Rambam. For the answer, Rambam Paskin, at the beginning of Rava, Rava's first opinion expressed in Ayin Vav, as we mentioned earlier, the two Rambams are connected. There's no Issa Min HaTorah by Nesina. There is an Issa Min HaTorah by a non-Jewish person. Okay? The Los Eschata can only go on one of them, according to the Rambam. Not on both. Aye, what about the other nations of the world? The Gemara says, seems to say in the Masechta Avodah Zarah that the only one who includes other nations above and beyond the seven umos in the Yisrael of the Chatein is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon was called Doresh Tama the Krah. He follows the reasoning of the Pasuk. And we usually do not follow Rabbi Shimon. We usually don't follow the reasoning of the Pasuk. So why suddenly over here do we follow the reasoning of the Pasuk? That's the question which is raised against the Rambam. So the Torah asks, in effect, asks that question. So the suggestion was made based on the Vilna Gaon that the Gemara in the Sefer Kiddushin seems to have a different view. The Gemara Masechta Kiddushin discusses the question of whether there is a relationship between a non-Jewish mother and the child. From a Jewish father, for example. And the Gemara says no. The Gemara says there's no Kiddushin Tofes with a non-Jewish spouse. And the basis of the Gemara is a pasuk we read not long ago in Kriyat Torah, where it says, "The Achar came to Voi Aleha Uval Torah, Voi Solach Al Isha by Yifas Torah." And the implication is that only Achar came after the conversion, then the kedushin is tofet Voi Olach Al Isha, Voi Solach Al Isha. Before that, it cannot be any ishus. It cannot be married halachically to a non-Jewish woman. The Gaon seems to say, Shat and Rambam. I added this little twist, but that's what the Gaon seems to be saying, that you have to go back to the first half of the Pasuk too. V'yachakein tavo eleho uva'alto. Only yachakein. But the implication is that before that, before the conversion, the beer is prohibited. Not just there's no kiddush, but even the beer is prohibited. So you cannot marry her, as it were, before the conversion. So therefore, this is the source, in conjunction with Los Eschata and Bal, of course, which indicates that there is a prohibition to marry, quote-unquote, a non-Jewish woman, even if she's not from the seven nations, because the Pas Torah could be from any nation. Maybe even Rashi is only from the not from the seven nations. The Shavit HaShivyo is not from the seven nations. That would be Pshat in the Rambam, where you get it from. We even had an extra little twist. The Goyim said that the Rambam Pasuk, the Gemara Kiddushin, against the Gemara Yevamos. Those two Gemaras are clearly arguing with respect to the issue of the children, etc., etc., as Tosfos and Yevamos point out. But the Goyim said that the Rambam also is Pasuk, like the Gemara Kiddushin, against the Gemara Avodah Zarah. It's two against one. Rambam Pasuk, like one against the two, which to me was a little bit bothersome. Why Pasuk, like one against two? So I suggest that perhaps you can even say the Gemara of Arizorah could be like the Rambam too. Because although the Gemara at the beginning seems to say that the prohibition is limited to the seven nations, that's only the beginning of the Gemara. Because at the beginning of the Gemara thought that you have to find a case where the rabbis prohibit intermarriage or living with a non-Jewish woman. The Gemara had no case. The Gemara had the famous case of it's Xerah. So the Gemara says, well, I mean Xerah, it's Daraisa. So to get out of that problem, the Gemara is doing the suggestion that the prohibition in the Torah is only to the seven nations, and the rabbinical prohibition extends to other nations as well. Subsequently in the Gemara, a distinction is drawn between what we call Derech Ishus and Derech Znus. that the Torah prohibition is derech ishus, and the rabbinical prohibition is derech znus. So it occurred to me, and what has lashon ella, ella. So it occurred to me was that once the Gemara says that, it backed out from what had been written earlier in the Gemara, earlier in the sugya, that the prohibition is limited to the seven nations, according to everybody but Rav Shimon. No. When the Moses says Ella, it backs out from that, and the prohibition is applied to all nations, the derech ishus. And therefore, this the Gemara in Avodah Zarah without the Rambam as well. To summarize, the derech ishus, what's the halacha? According to the Rambam, it's an Issa Daraisa by all nations of Losses Chaten Bom. According to the Tur, Losses Chaten only applies to the seven nations. According to the Rambam, it does not apply to the seven nations, Bigerusa. According to the Torah, plus the seven nations of Gerusa, same as we had before. Now, the Gra just said the basis for the Rambam as far as he's going beyond the seven nations. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah at one point indicates only Rav Shimon extends it beyond the seven nations, so we don't pass like Rav Shimon. So the Goyan says, yeah, but the Gemara in Kiddushin is against the Gemara in Kiddushin. Stop at the Gemara called that says that it applies to all nations. And the Pesukim I've told you before, based on the past Torah. I just added one little twist. Even about a Zari could say at the end, Ella, but maybe it applies to all nations, even if you don't like Rav Shimon. So I just added one little twist to what the Goyim says. Yes?
In that, you only learn that there's an
issue.
You don't learn that
there's an issue.
Issues.
What do you assume
that this is an issue?
No, the Acha came, Tavar, Elel, Ba'al, Tavar, only after that, may you have be with her and she should be your wife. In Tuan is an Easter of Bia, but there are issues before that. That's how I understood it. Okay. There is another puzzle. The Los is Chatein Bom. The puzzle goes on and says what? Right? Vita, Vita Los Chatein Bom. No, Vita Los Higat with Necha. The Torah seems to indicate that puzzle is a prohibition. And the subsequent phrase "Kiyotzer is Bincha Mi'acharai," which is introduced to this equation as well, has relevance to an issue of living with a non-Jewish woman, perhaps limited to seven nations. The kick to what I'm trying to say is that although we've been discussing until now, it's simply the words. Everything we discussed today so far is on three words: Lo Sischatein Bom. First, we spoke about Big Yerusha, whether it applies. I talk about a big yusa that applies, according to the Rambam applies to a does apply big yusa, according to other Rishonim, no, but the Chatam applies only to the seven nations of Bigay Rusam. Then there's another pasuk. Before that, the other pasuk, I want to make one more hour. The Ramban says no. The Maskana says Gemara. When the Gemara says the Chatam applies to Bigay Rusam when they convert, it doesn't mean only when they convert. It means even when they convert. It applies both to Gerusan and to Bigiyusan. That's not the simple reading of the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say first it applies only to Bigiyusan, then only to Gerusan. The Ramban says no. First it applies only to Bigiyusan, and then it applies Bigiyusan as well as, and even Bigiyusan. So it applies to both these laws of Chana, although presumably it would be limited to the seven nations. That extra Chiddush of the Ramban they don't necessarily hold from. Which the Vilna Goyim, the Mahalat, the Pesach. The Rambam had two different chidushim. You can agree with one and disagree with the other. You can apply Losses Chatem to the Giyusan, right, which the Ramban does, not because he argues on the Sina. He says, no, it applies to both. That's the Ilan of Maskana of the Gemara Yavamas. Against Rabbi Natam and the Rambam. Rabbi Natam said it applies only to the Giyusan. Rambam said it applies only to the Giyusan. Ramban said it applies to both. But the second Kiddush of Rambam applies to all nations that not to accept. The second Kiddush. One final Nakuda over here is that there may even be an Issa Midaraisa the Derech Znus. The Gemara seems to say not that way. The Gemara seems to say there's no Issa Midaraisa at all Derech Znus, only Derech Ishus. I want to make 2 hours about this. So we're discussing the Derech Ishus, the Giyusa.
The Gemara of Rezer says even Derech Shus.
The Rabbana.
The Gemara of Rezer concludes only when it's done in, not publicly.
Oh, slowly. So that's one hour. The Gemara says that it's done in a public way, there may be an iser, although not an iser with the rice or mamish. Smoke what we call a pasuk. What? Okay, and also it's asim chay akor. The pasuk is boal basel necha, right? Yachris Hashem. It's called. What we call what? Kores midivrei kabbalah. We did lashon exactly. Kores, sorry. Kores midivrei kabbalah. And this applies to a situation in which a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman. You're all familiar with the punishment which can befall such an individual. You don't know the history, you may be with on Chumash. What do we call that? Tanavis's death, what do we call that, no? Kanoim Pogimbo. Habol Aramis, Kanoim Pogimbo. And the Gemara says, Elisha is correct. The Gemara says, Daraisa Befarhesu Kamaisa Shahoya. But you used an expression, Daraisa, you're right, I had it wrong. What is the puzzle is Daraisa, Befarhesya Kamaisa Shahoya. Then a little bit Befarhesya is the prohibition, which you take a little bit of the Daraisa, for a Jewish man to live with a non-Jewish woman, Befarhesya, and it applies Kamaisa Shahoya. Presumably it's not to be Derech Ishus, because it wasn't very much Derech Ishus over there, it was Derech Snus. And then he said, Daraisa Befarhesya. That's one issue which exists. Shalom B'Derech Ishus. Okay, which Pashup Shad Gemara. And the Ran suggests perhaps this Issa Daraisa applies only to a Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman. But the reverse perhaps not. What's the difference? After all, a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, the children would be, if any children would be what? Goyim, which makes it worse. Kibbal Basel Necha, the Pasuk in Malachi, which is quoted. Fine, that's one hora. Hora number two is that the Avnei Miluim has another suggestion. He thinks that perhaps the other way around, he says. There'd be a worse prohibition in the circumstance of a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman. That's worse. Why is that worse? So it's a bit of a complex calculation. I don't want to go into all the details now. It's goes involved in the psukim. What's mafurish b'kro? What's not mafurish b'kro? Ki yosir, what it refers to. The kitzur, the Avnei Miluim, is so it is that whenever it's mafurish b'kro, we follow the reason. When it's not mafurish b'kro, we don't follow the reason. And perhaps maybe it may split 50-50. On this basis, just without just making a reference to it, but just going to the bottom line, he suggests a chiddush nifla. Hold on. He suggests a chiddush nifla that akum aboah bat Yisrael is an isim b'daraisa b'derev znus b'tzina. Even though Yisrael shaboah hanochris b'derev znus b'tzina. There is no Issa Min HaTorah. He wants to split them at the right to take a level, B'tzina. He asks, how come the Ran is against me? Of course, the Ran is going with Farhesi, he's going with B'tzina. But it's an interesting phenomenon that a split can exist in two different directions. You try to enter Tosis Kash and Yevomis, and that's Tezayin, Tosis Yevomis says not that way. They say, Akum, Ve'evet, Abobah, so they say, Akum, there's no Issa Min HaTorah. And how come it could be a Mamza? We'll come to that a little bit later. So he says, well, no, there is an Issa Daraisa. I think Moses is no Issa Daraisa. But the Gemara is referring to a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman, so B'tzin is not Daraisa. But it could be that a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man would be an Issa Daraisa. And it's, again, it's based on the complexity of what's Mefurish, what's not Mefurish, Kiyosir. Take it on faith for the moment. I don't want to go into all the intricacies now. But at least I felt it's important to note that everything we discussed was really talking about Befarhes, the Derech Ishus. The Derech Nus is the footnote. You can either take the Tolid Rabbonah, which is the Pashup Shat. Daraisa may not really mean an Issa Daraisa proper, the question. But in any event, the Ran and the Avnei Miluim have opposite Chidushim. The Ran says that the Issa that's called over here Daraisa, which is Befarhesya, the Derech Nus, it's only when a Jewish man, not Jewish woman, not the other way around. And Avnei Miluim says that even exists an Issa B'tzina, but only a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman, and not the other way around. Again, that's based upon the kiyosir, what's mafurish and not mafurish b'kro. could be.
It's complicated.
Okay, that's just Rav Ossai. I wanted to cover initially what's the nature of Yitzlos Chatam. That was the first time we discussed as soon as we opened up the Gemaras, the beginning of Chodesh Elul. I want to now discuss another Indian with you, which is the Shinas HaRaivit HaMe'iri. We made a quick reference to it before, but I want to explain it to you at much greater length right now. The Raivit and the Me'iri, again, the Raivit is quoted by the Ramban and Yevamah Sayyid Ches, and the Me'iri and our Mishnah have a remarkable view with respect to both Nestino and Kusis. They seem to equate the two, and they seem to make the following statement, that a woman who was a Nestino or a Kusis is a woman who was converted insincerely, as I mentioned to you before. Don't forget, Nesinim are converted because they were afraid of being killed by Yehoshua, and Kusim converted because they were afraid of being killed by the lion. Hatala Shavah Shabam, but he converted because there's an ulterior motive. The Raivit quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, Chavdal on the base, which says, Echad Geire Shlomo, Echad Geire Mordechai Yester, Echad Geire Arroyos, they converted because of the lions. So we pass him with the Yevet, Kulim Geire Meim. So Machlokos Tanoim, Rav Nechemin, and Chacham, we pass the Chacham, and they have the Argeim. So the Raivit means Kusim. Yevamos Chavdal, the Raivit is Yevamos Ayin Chet. And Kusim are always known to Shabbos Geire Arroyos. So the Raivit says, you know, Kusim, Geri Arayos, they really are Jewish. Prepare Shi Gemara. Geri Arayos is the Evid Geri man. Only one thing, you can't marry them. Menat Torah! You can't marry them. The tending applies to Nesina. They convert insincerely. They are converts, but you can't marry them. Menat Torah, you can't marry them. In a Torah, if they convert against Tzili, then you can marry them. So we ask the question, what is this? A half Jew and a half not Jew? I mean, what's going on? If they convert, the Chayim and Tayag Mitzvahs is a meeting. And the Chayim and Tayag Mitzvahs, they need another conversion. And the other conversion, there's an interesting Lashon which is used by the Raivit and the Neri, similar to Shonas, to describe that second conversion. The Raivit says, the second conversion is, quote, Kedei Lehis Arev V'Yisroel. End quote. So mix them with the Jewish people. And the Neri says the second conversion is L'shem Yisraelus L'gamre, to be a total member of the Jewish people. Nisana, what's the question?
Before the second
conversion. Yeah. This is the Midaraisa to marry them. The Chayim and Tayag
Mitzvahs.
Also the Raisa to marry them. And it's an issue of Goya of Araya. It could be taken care of by a second conversion. Midaraisa, right? Chazal said not to do it, as we mentioned earlier. Fine. The Raivit, quote by Ron, said the shame. Kedele is Arev Yisrael. That's the Raivit. Yeah. The second is the Me'iri. The Me'iri says the shame Yisraelus Lagamre. The Me'iri and Amish. What's it all about? So I wanted to suggest a pshat. The pshat is as follows. You know, the Achronim suggest that a person cannot convert, cannot become Chayav and Mitzvahs and undergo Gevus unless he's willing to accept a dual commitment. Amech Amid Elokayach Elokot. You have to accept the God of one God. You have to accept to be part of the Jewish people. You want to accept all the Mitzvahs, but you won't become part of the Jewish people, that conversion is nothing. That's what the Poskim suggests. If that's the case, we can perhaps say that the Raivit agrees to that partially. And there can be a partial conversion. If you accept upon yourself all the mitzvahs, you are not a total convert. But you are a partial convert. You can have the Elokai Halokai without the Ameich Ani. A remarkable kind of convert. He accepts all the mitzvahs, but he hasn't really joined the Jewish people. Unbelievable. And as a result, he can't marry. The needs to have a goyim because it's not really a member of the Jewish people, even though it's chayav and tayag mitzvahs. And the logic behind it would be, he didn't want to become part of the Jewish people. He only wanted to get the lions off his back. He wanted to get the army off his back. He figured he'll accept the mitzvahs, and that way no one's going to butt up with it, not a lion or a person. He didn't really want to become part of Bar Yisrael. The reason is that not, because that's the second time. Quote, today is Arab Yisrael. Well, the shame is Yisrael to the Gamre. Then he wants to become part of the Amei Chami, and then he becomes a full-fledged Jew. You can marry him in a Torah. Oh. The Chiddush Nifla. I wanted to give you two examples, possible examples of this elsewhere. Such a big Chiddush. One, we had a sheet of the Kubetz and Krisis, Rav Ches. But the sheet says, what I think from the Rach, that if a person in the time of the Beis HaMikdash had a Mila and Tvila B'Mikvah, but he didn't bring a carbon, so he's Jewish, he's Chayim HaMitzvah, but it's awesome in HaTorah to marry him. Example one. A person had a Mila and a Tvila B'Mikvah and did not bring the carbon as you're required to bring upon conversion. So we use the assumption, he's a full-fledged Jew, 100%, he's just missing a carbon. And the Shita says, no, you may not, it's Osim and HaTorah to marry him. He's treated as a goy with respect to these inyanas. It's possible to be a second example, perhaps exists in the Mordechai and Yavamis, talking about a mumar, someone who converted out, someone converting in, someone who converted out of the Jewish faith. The Mordechai and Yavamis. So the suggestion is made that it's postal to the also, Kanoim Pogimbo. He's treated as a non-Jew with respect to these matters. Even though, as we know, you can't really go out of the Jewish, you can't go out of this religion. Once you're stuck, it's no matter what you try to do. So I wanted to suggest in those two cases a similar idea. You can't run away from the Rabbanu Shalom. As we were reading on Yom Kippur in Sefer Yonah, you can't run away. Less after the Ponimine. There's no place in the world that Hashem is not there. My kids sing, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is always everywhere. Truly everywhere. Forgot the word of it. Truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Here, everywhere, that's where it can be found. So I get away from Hashem, you can't do it. Impossible. Like one mistake, I found it. So you can't run away from Hashem, impossible. You can run away from the Jewish people, you know, you can. So perhaps the Muma who seeks refuge in the church or whatever other religion he wants to go to, he can somehow secede from Klal Yisrael. And it works, believe it or not. We assume it doesn't work for anything. But these Gaonim say that according to the Mordechai, it really works. It's possible to be also. And the experience of going even on the level of the rice in terms of certain things. Hold on. But he's still kind of business, because that you can't get away from. Similarly, we could suggest the respect of the person who brought the Mila and Tvila and didn't have a carbon, that the carbon is critical because that's something which can only be done in the Beis HaMikdash with Klal Yisrael. The Mila and the Tefillah can be done anywhere. The Mila at home and the Tefillah in any river. But the carbon is joining it with Klal Yisrael. So therefore, perhaps if he doesn't bring a carbon, he's treated still as a, quote, non-Jew with respect to marrying or possibly the also, Kanoim Pogimbo, etc., etc. That's an interesting possible example of this yourself. Yeah. No. Oh, we'll come to that. Before I discuss what Yoshua just asked, I want to bring two riots that Rashi also cheats. You shouldn't think it's just a far out Shita which was developed in the Riviera. When the Chachmei Provence, the Rivet and the Miri, this is mainstream France. This is seems to be Rashi's opinion as well. Two riots in Rashi. One riot I found in Achronim, that's the Rashi in Yevamos Chav Dalet. The Rashi says, "Mas echad gere Shlomo, echad gere Mordechai v'Yester, echad gere Arayas, v'diyevet kulam gerem." Says Rashi, "Gere Arayas, kigon kusim." That kusim, so b'di'evet gerame. Tosa disagrees. Tosa, what are you talking about? Kusim. Kusim are goyim gemurim. Quoting Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Kilei, they quote Rashi in Sanhedrin. Seems to say the same thing. Stephen Rashi, so far. So the fact that Rashi says that kusim is gere arayos and b'di'evet kulim gerame indicate the old like the Rivet and the Miri. That might explain why Rashi over here in our Mishnah says by Nesina David Gazer Aleim. What's wrong with this saying plain that the Nisa Midaraisa, if Rashi agrees to one, which we're assuming? The answer, the Rashi holds that Nesina is the same thing as Kusis. And Rashi she tells us the third Rashi, there are three Rashi. Rashi says Kusis, Kosava Geri Aroya saying, Vyeshna Balava Saschatan, Rashi and Al Mishnah. So the question becomes, Rashi and Al Mishnah, what are you talking about? If it's a Goya, there's no Knas by a Goya. So the Fair Shikamon Afin Aleph does this. The end of the Rashi of the Kusis Geri Aroya is not a Goya. It's a Jew, Chayim and Mitzvah. And therefore, there could be a Knas. Rashi explains the sinim, or we call stage two, that Chazal said not to accept, and even if they're sincere, as the stage two according to the Ravid, so it shouldn't be redundant. The sinah kusis, same thing according to the Ravid in the Miri. So why say both? That's the chiddush, that the sinah is an ister abonon on top of the ister derived. Apply even if there is an attempt at a sincere conversion subsequently. So again, the Rashi and Awadaf is mashma like the Ravid, because Kus and Geri Araya are saying Los Chadam is still Jewish. Rashi Chavdalat is Kusim is Geri Araya, and the Diabet Kulim Gerime, again, consistent with this is over here. And Rashi in Yevamis Taf Samachet, I believe, says that Kusim and nothing, the possible of the awesome, why? Because he holds that Geri Araya. So the Bach there says, what are you talking about? Nosin is Geri Arayos? What are you saying? So the Bach is Magia and Rashi. Where we're explaining now, no, there's no need for any Hagor. That's the Chiddush of the Rashi, of the Rai, which Rashi subscribes to. Then the Sinim and Kusim are really the same thing. On the right physical level, they're both insincere converts. And the Halacha therefore is that they're considered Jewish, but with respect to Postal to be also and Rosh Chatan Bam, we treat them and treat as Kiddushin, we treat them as not Jewish. I believe it's Samachet Samarav, I believe. You know? If there's a Bach there, you know it's the right place. You can tell by looking at the Bach. Yes, it's sure.
It's so similar, it's why we make a differentiation of sin with the actual
issue. Well, that's because David made it, and David didn't make it like Kusim. David made it by the sin. That's the whole point. David made it only by the sin. Just because it's similar on the level of the Raisa, doesn't mean that the Chazal can't ask the one, not the other. Right? Right. And Rashi is all the way. Right, that's right. Rashi here and Rashi two Rashi in Yevamos. All seem to indicate like the right of a chief. Finally, in this Indian, is Yeshua's question from before. Doesn't the Gemara say that if you hold Geir Arayas is the Mamash Goyim Gemurim? To be Kivegas Kash. To the two Gemaras. One to Gemara in Sanhedrin. They told Kusim Geri Arayos, you can hit him. You can hit him. So we say about Kah. And the second to Gemara in Kiddushin, which says that if Kusim Geri Arayos, we have to worry about what we call Akum Ve'eved Haboah Vasisrael. You see, if Geri Arayos means the Goyim Gemara, those are the two kashas against this opinion. The Gemara in Kiddushin says if you hold Kusim Geri Arayos saying that if a Kusi man lives with a Jewish woman, child is the status of Akam Abba Bas Yisrael, which might be a mom's according to one view, etc. So, two Gemaras, black and white. So the Ritzvo there in Kiddushin seems to indicate that maybe it depends upon the Machlokas HaTanoim. Which maybe the Machlokas HaTanoim in Yevamos Chof Dalet, for the B'dievet Kulam Geirim or not Geirim, and the Gemara in Yevamos, excuse me, in Kiddushin, it worked with the assumption that they are not Geir and B'dievet. We pass that they are Geir and B'dievet. Can I be passing against a few stammers of the Gemara? It's a little bit of a difficult interpretation. But I suggest something different. No! They're Jewish! But it's not Achicha. Achicha means a member of the Kva Yisrael. These people are Chayim and Mitzvahs. The Chayim and Tariq Mitzvahs are right. But they're not the Kva Achicha. And the Yisrael of Hakor is Pen Yosef. V'nikla achicha le'enecha. It's only to achicha. It doesn't apply to someone who's not included in achicha. And same thing with the issue of akal avol b'atz Yisrael applies over here. Why? As you already saw earlier, because it's in Hilchas Yisurin, We treat them as not Jews, so they're not part of the Klal Yisrael. And as a result, the Yisrael of Akam of Olas Yisrael would apply. Whatever results would apply, they would apply in. But they really are Chayav Mitzvahs, even according to those two Gemaras. Akam Avob Bas Yisroel, according to one day in the blood of the Mamzer. The Gemara says that if anyone would apply to a Kusi, Avob Bas Yisroel. It's not proven that the Kusi is an absolute guy. We're suggesting no, not a positive proof. It's a proof that the Kusi is a guy with respect to marriage, but not that it's not Chayav Mitzvah. Okay, so this is our elaboration upon the opinion of the Raivan and the Meiri concerning the Sina as it affects Kusis as well. Okay. At three Rashis, Rashi in Ksubas Chavtes, and the Rashi in Yivamas Chavdalet, and the Rashi in Yivamas Samachas, all to the point in that direction of the Rashi. Okay. Okay. I want to now discuss another topic. Tosfos discusses over here and in Yevamos, Ayin Tes, the issue of Lo Yiyeh Kodesh, Lo Siyeh Kodesha, as it refers to an Eved or a Shivcha. Unkelus, you recall, is Metargin, the Pasuk, referring to an Eved and a Shivcha. Question is, what is Pshat that Pasuk? To whom is it applied? It's one of those enigmatic psukim. Lo yiyeh kodesh b'nei Yisrael, lo siyeh kodesh b'nei Yisrael. What is it going on? What does it mean? What does it refer to? So, let's first assume Unkelus is correct. That the Isni refers to a Eved and a Shifra. Remember which way it goes. How does the pasuk start? Lo yiyeh kodesh b'nei Yisrael. What does it refer to? Lo yiyeh kodesh b'nei Yisrael. Means what? A Jewish man who lives with a shifcha. Lo siyeh kodesh b'nei Yisrael means a Jewish woman lives with an eved. Kind of easier is this? Right, well, one half refers to men, half refers to women. So what kind of Issa it is, an enigmatic Issa. It's not going on what we call for an Issa Chepza. Don't marry this woman. No, on the contrary. Well, yeah, Kodesh refers to the Jewish man, who's a kosher man, who's living with a Shivka. You have to say that shot, because it's Lohiyah Kodesh with Bnei Yisrael. The Shivka is not a full-fledged member of Bnei Yisrael. So Lohiyah Kodesh refers not to an Eved, as we might be tempted to say, but refers to the Shivka. A Jewish man should not live with a ship. What kind of Issa is this? Let's analyze this against the backdrop of two other potential individuals to fall into this category. One is an Asina. The discussion tells us here in Yevamos, is an Asina in this category or not? Is an Issa Midaraisa? An Issa Shivka by an Asina? The first glance, yes. If this is Avdus, if they are Avodim, if there's a Shivka, so what's the wisest ship other than the other ship? Yet Tosfos indicates that the answer is no. And the reason given, a number of reasons given here in the Yevamos, this shivka is not miyuchedes to a particular adon. There's no one master over this shivka. The chot ve'etzim, the shov ve'mayim, for the Jewish people at large, based on Mikdash, but there's no one master over this shivka. Tosfos Yevamos seems to make it dependent upon whether you can get out of the state of Avdus, whether it applies to subsequent generations. So the Issa is the Issa L'Ola. Why this consideration significant? Finally, yeah?
Well, the second
generation
doesn't Sorry?
If that's
the Gemara says, applies to a shifra, to an eved who's only half goyish. Kavakama to a guy, the guy is totally goyish. Again, the problem.
Mishnah in the fourth parak, where we have a Chiddush Din. It says in the Mishnah, it's all about the case of Narash and its part. It's alright, again, Pitui. Mishnah in the fourth parak, where we have a Chiddush Din. It says in the Mishnah, so by case of Narash and his cotton, it's all right, again, Pitui. It says, it talks about Bosh, Kam, Knas, etc. Who does it go to? Shalavia. First, we saw that it goes to the father. Then it says, Lo is speak alama the din, achanesa av, harehen shal atzma. So while the halach is that if ordinarily the money goes to the father, if the father died before we call our mother bedin, then the knas goes to the woman herself. That line is a critical line. The two very major issues should be discussed by Richtz. The first is the question of the, when is knas effective? At the what moment is the rechiyah knas? And its impact on a particular situation. And that is mechila. Can there be mechila b'knas before hamad b'din? Once hamad b'din, it's already a full-fledged monetary obligation. Of course mechila works. What about before hamad b'din? Does mechila work or does mechila not work? So Tosfos discussed that issue a little bit over here on Chavtesim and Aleph. And the Ran discusses it at greater length. Can there be mechila b'knas or not? It seems to be a question in the Yerushalmi. It also says, Ruman, Lama b'Yerushalmi, Knas ain't yechol alimcho. V'shas shalom, it's mashmid, you can be mocho. That's a controversy. The Ran wants to make locus in the Yerushalmi itself. We're discussing about a svara right now. Can there be mechila b'knas or not? So at first glance, no. Because the mechila b'dava shalom b'la olam. That's what the Mishnah says. Lo is speaker lama b'din ad shemesa avari and shalom. That means before amad b'din, the chiv hasn't gelled yet. It hasn't really come into, fully into existence yet. So that's the case because it can be no mechila. It cannot be mochel something which doesn't exist. Yeah, but there's one day in Yerushalmi, and according to Tos, the Bible, it can be Mechila. It's a question, how can there be Mechila? How? Dava Shalom B'Leol, how can there be Mechila? We spent quite a bit of time on the Ran, who talks about this issue. Let's take a look inside of the Ran. Also, as Machim, to remind ourselves, just of these two lines in the Ran, which describes its problem. It's Iran on page Yud Dalet in the print of the Rif. Towards the bottom of the page. You see this in brackets that Pei Gimel, see that? Right before that. Pasuk Ram Banzal. Anyone see it? The Mistabra Kamandava Shechola Limcha Lo Knosa Afa Pishlo Zoktelo Adayin, as we see in the Mishnah later. Dolamaza Dome, the Kosev Laru Soso da Pe Gimel, Din and Dvorim Ainli Ben Chosayich, the Chayayich of the Mosech, the Kaimalon, the Mesa, Aina Yosha, the Nachla Bolo Lodam Nimokamacha, Koloma Shachshah and Royal Law, Gona Rusoso Zu. Other master less lo yivashena, lachuki yushes aviv shehiuyulo. V'anami lahadami. This is like a case of dinu dvarim enli b'nechasayah. That's what we call siluk. See, you're not being mochel in an existing obligation. You're being misalik yourself. You're removing yourself from a potential future obligation. You never get off the ground. You never got the Yerusha because you're misalik yourself from the Yerusha. And he had the line. The Yod, the Kevish, and the Sratzeis, the Shazbiya, Hey, Yishayek, Farei Yuka Omer, Krashi, Roi, and Shali, Vihi Pater. The Afal Pi, She'ena Zocha, B'Knas, Ad Shas, Amor, B'din, Nikomakom, B'Shazbiya, Udim, Hum, Yishayek. That line is very, very critical. What is that line? That line in the quarter, what does it say there?
Oh. Let's first analyze the previous line fully so we can then understand what this line means. The first line equated Nechila B'Knas for Amana B'Din with Siluk from Yerusha. You with me? Siluk from Yerusha works before the Yerusha, before it comes to pass. It comes to pass upon Nisuin. And here you're doing it before the Nisuin, you're taking Mesalik from yourself from it. Huh? What kind of Nisiluk? What kind of Nisiluk? So, this can be determined, what kind of siluk is, by the answer to a particular question. Can a person back out from siluk? Can you back out from siluk? So the Torah says, you see from this round, you cannot back out from siluk. If you can back out from siluk, then it could be a chiyuv mamon, right? You can back out from the siluk. And then if you can back out from the siluk, so why does the Gemara say in Subot of Lamed Beis, you get Malkus? You get Malkus because there's no Mammon. Maybe there could be Mammon later on? Slow. The Gemara is a case in Lamed Beis. We'll get to it, Mr. Shem, after the answer. But it implies that there could be a case of Mefuta, which is Michael, that there's no Chiyuv Mammon. And the implication is no Chiyuv Mammon now or forever. Listen very carefully. So with this, the Tzolot and the Kasha against the Ma'arit. The Ma'arit says that in the case of marriage, where the man told the woman, I hereby mistalik myself from your Yerusha, the Ma'arit says you can back out. The question, why can you back out in that case? You obviously cannot back out in this case. That's the problem. So we quoted a heretic from Shimon Shkop, a big Yisod. The question is, can you or can you not back out from Siluk? The source is from our Rana, proof positive that you can back out, that you cannot back out. Because our Gemara says, the way the Ramban was chatting in the case over here, by the Futa, it's not Mechila, but it's Siluk. But the Gemara Amin Beis implies there's no possibility of any Chiyuv Mammon ever coming to pass. So this being the case, it's clear that you cannot keep your word. You cannot go back on the siluk. That's here. Whereas the Ma'arit says when it comes to the case of the betrothed couple, the man says to the woman, that I'm hereby mistalik myself from any Yerusha, rights which I may have, you can back out from the Ma'arit until the Nisua, until they're fully married. Why? Against Iran. It comes up Shimon Shkop. He says, no. You have wrong shot. You have wrong shot. Siluk is not siluk on the mammon. You're not removing yourself from the money proper. You're removing yourself from the tviya. From the, how should I say it? You're saying that I hereby declare that I do not want the din of Tviyas Knas to be effective. So once you say, I do not want the din of Tviyas Knas to be effective, then it cannot be effective. So the Bia takes place, and it doesn't come into effect. So there's no turning back. She can't get back a day later and change her mind. She says, sorry lady, but the moment, at the critical moment, that this could have been chal. Only one moment it could have been chal. What moment is that? The moment of the bia. At that moment you were saying you don't want any part of it. You can't wake up the next day and say I want it. You want it, very nice, you want it, but now there's no one to put there. I was only mefat to you yesterday, not today. So therefore, that's it. It's all over. However, let me finish the sentence. However, in the case of the Gemara and Suvas Pegimel of the betrothed couple is also a critical moment. But what is that critical moment? What is it, no? No. The moment of what? The Nisuin. That's the critical moment. So if you have a salgist before that moment and that siluk is maintained through the Nisuin, good. But you can back out before the Nisuin. Because you're saying originally, I don't want to have any part of the Skos Yerusha. Very nice, very sentimental, very nice, very romantic. You want to be part of it? But then, if you back out before the Nisuin, so that Siddur never really took effect. Right? You say, I want out. You say, I want in. So by the case of a foot, it's too late. But the case of Yerusha, say, you want in, so then you're back in. She could say, then I won't marry you. That's her prerogative. Okay, but...
why is by Mufuta or by others, by Mufuta,
right,
that you can't, when she says that she decided from her Kriya, till the Bia happens.
She was silent herself after the right, she's Mufuta. She's willing to live with him. That itself
is the
fact that she's willing to live with him, she says yes, that itself is the seal. Then 2 days later, she changed her mind. Too late.
The only time that she has is when she's shy, she's not too close to the bar and whatever,
right.
Bar,
right.
Different
place. Right, exactly. That's where Shim is a beautiful svar. Beautiful, beautiful svar from Shim.
But if she does change her mind in the very end of the beer.
Okay, it's a different story. That's kind of a problem. Pinpoint that. Now, on both sides. Again, so we're saying now, slowly. We're saying that it's the word siluk, and the Ran's comparison to Suvas Pei Gimel is a gavaldic comparison. But the nature of siluk, not siluk from the money, but siluk from the, what you might call the schus tviya, from the right to claim the money. They don't want any part of it.
It's impossible.
Right. Impossible. Once you already said that you will not, you're foregoing the right to that claim, and the moment passed when the claim can be effective, too late. Right? Okay, that's out. What's the second line in the round? But now that we discussed the first line, the last line, va'od. What is that va'od? What does that mean? What does that mean? So some say this is not a new teretz, it's patching up the old teretz. The Ram was bothered by the problem. Hey, I can't make siluk before the Avison, because I have no connection with this woman. She's only my girlfriend. She's my, my shudeches or the shidduch, but there's no full Avison. For the siluk to be effective, the Gemara says you have to have full Avison. You have Avison and no nesuin. That's when siluk works. Here, we should argue that the siluk that the woman did before the bia by Mufuta is too early. And you might go further and say that all the way until the Amar Abedin is too early. Till the Amar Abedin exists nothing. That's the mission of the fourth parak. Lower speaker, Lama Vidinat Shemei Sahab. It belongs to her because the father never got it because it was nothing. That could be what's bothering the Ram. So what do I answer? Let's read it again. Leod, let's look inside. The Kavish and his Rats Vishazbiya Ech Yishayev. Vareyu Kaomer Krashi Roish Divi Potter. The Afapish and his Oka Bekanata Shatz and Mother Vidin Mikomakom Vishazbiya Ulu Mishayev. What he's saying is as follows. No. It's true that the obligation to pay dollars and cents, or shkolim we should say, does not affect them until the Hamad of Adin. That is true. That is true. But the bia is, if you will, the maisa machayim. And therefore siluk works, even though the obligation to pay in real life does not take effect until the Hamad of Adin. Until the Hamad of Adin. In other words, it's patching up this problem. It's patching up this problem. In other words, there is an issue of siluk. The problem with siluk is it's too early. See, it's no good too late or too early. I think most of the consumers take him. If it's after the Nisuin, it's too late. It's before the Nisuin, it's too early. So here, the problem maybe should be considered too early. So therefore, those last few words in the Ran, the Afal Pi, She'ena Zocha B'Knas,
Ad Shas Amara Bedin, Mikomagom B'Shas Bia U'Meschayev, that explain why it's not too early. Something is around, and you can have a siddur from that something. The something is, the Mais HaMachayev is there. Even though the actual chiyuv to pay only takes effect later with Amara Bedin. Why is it against? It could be like a Shimon Shkav. They're saying over here that the siddur from the could exist in the tzviya even before the, what we call the chiyuv of Paul Mamish, when there's an Amara Bedin. As long as the mice, which is Machayev, you say, I don't want this mice to give me any schus to be Toveyu for money. So that might work. That's how one might read this last line. One second. That line fits it very nicely as an answer to that question. The question was, the unwritten question, is that too early? And the answer is, not too early because you have the Maisa Mechayev, even though there's no amount of it in yet, something is there. B'shas b'yom Mechayev. I thought the amount of it in, well, it's not, you know, in real life to pay. It's only b'shas amount of it in. But the real Maisa Mechayev was earlier.
She can't be misled to ask to be it.
That's right. Say, I won't take it to court. They change it mind the next day. Yeah, that can't be decided like irrevocably, irreversibly. No. I'm sorry.
It's a higher level of seal. You can't just shout seal.
Okay. Now, that's how we read the words, the AFLP, those last few words. The AFLP, according to what we're saying now, it's really amending the first teretz. The V'od they haven't come to yet. It's a little bit strange. The V'od, half of that line seems to stand independently, which we'll come to later. But the V'afalp is coming to take care of the first teretz. We'll come to the V'od momentarily. The Mishnah Lamelech read the AFLP differently. He read like this amazing way to read it. AFLP she'ena zocha b'knas ha'chatz l'mada b'din until that nothing really happens. Mikolakom b'shaz b'il m'schayev means as follows. So when the Amada b'din comes, we view the chiyuv as being retroactive. When they go to court, we say it's as if the chiyuv began retroactively. So there, the mechila was not a premature mechila, because when it'll be Amara Bedin, it'll turn out that the mechila will not work. It doesn't pay to go to court, because you know, if you go to court, it'll be retroactive. That's his version. Not that it was a maisa mechayev. It's kind of this. You see, Mishnah doesn't go with this. I don't want to call it brisk or this kind of tyrus. You know, maisa mechayev chiyuv lepoil. The Mishnah was in the old style. When is it? He said, no, it's later. But when it takes effect later, it really comes back retroactively. That's the concept we find in Farish and Shas. Called them Afreya. That's how the Mishnah learned this line of what? The Afalpi. Right. That's right. Oh. Is there an afkamina? Yeah, there's an afkamina. An afkamina would be if it gives you a mashkin on the knas. We assume it's nothing, because until that amara bedin is no chiyuv, no real chiyuv, no monetary obligation. It's just a ma'aser mechayev took place. The way the Mishnah Lamelech learns, the Ksol says, according to him, that a mashkin would work. Why would it work? Because in retrospect, there's a real obligation to pay, starting from that time. You didn't know about it yet, it hasn't happened yet, but when the court judges the case in Cheshvan, it goes back to Tishrei. So the mashkin was after the fact, in retrospect. Someone asked me, bro, it was an afkamina between the Mishnah Lamelech's trap and what we call the standard trap. Not to be with the mashkin. With the mashkin, the effect. Because if there's no chiyuv, then it's money and mashkin and ka. But according to the Mishnah Lamech, it's retroactively there really is a chiyuv. This is, of course, all assuming, Rabbosai, that the afal pi, the Eben HaZeman time, and the afal pi is really going on the first teretz before the word the oath. Hold on. Hold on. No, no, no. Different, a different concept. Different concept.
In case she does grab something from him, according to
the Shonar. Not grab, look how much grab, somebody gave her a mashin. What about grab? It's a different
grab. Duran's first shot.
Yeah. Siluk.
For what time? The
Maaseh of the Chayat? Right. The Pasha Chayat, that the Siluk works because there already was the Maaseh of the Chayat. I too early? No, it's not too early because the Maaseh of the Chayat existed. No. A mashin requires to be what you call a chiyuv b'tol, to be an actual real monetary obligation, not just a background. Okay? That's just an afkamina. See, the two ways of reading the FLP. Yeah. Okay? So far, so good. So far, so good. Oh. Let's not read the V'ol. That also must be read very careful. Vo, the kevah shenisratas b'shas bia heif yischayet v'arei ka'omer krashi royen shali v'yipotet. What does that mean? But the pasha pshat in those words is that it's not mechila at all. Somebody was discussing siluk, mechila. No. A new din. What's the nature of the new din? So we say, it'll be called Mazik Birishus. I tell you, do me a favor, break my wall so you can fix my pipes. That's a pshat that you know, oh, I'm being loyal for you for breaking my wall. I'm telling you to come in, break the wall, because the pipe that's broken, underneath the wall is broken. So you're doing what under ordinary conditions would be considered Mazik, but because I'm asking you to do it, so that's called Mazik Birshus. Mazik Birshus. Krashi Royan. Krak Tusi. A Mishnah Rabba Kama. There's no chiyuv in the first place.
Okay.
That's a different verb. It's not Siluk. What it really is that it's not mechila, that there's no chiyuv to begin with. Why not? Because it's a classical example of what we call krash yiroyan shali v'yipotet. It's called mazik rishus. This being the case, what if the woman would say to the man, listen, you want to do this bia? All right, but you're not the paper. You want to break my wall? Be my guest. You have to pay for it. What's it did? You have to pay. Tosin does not like suggest that. Tosin Sanhedrin suggests that they're trying to find a case where you'd be chayav. So that's also discussing the same problem here as well. Subas Kaptes was once talking about a case of Baal Bito, I'm going to be a case where you pay knas, except it wouldn't be the Kona of the Rabbinate. But he told me there's a mechil anyway. So Tosin Sanhedrin says, no, Mefuta. She said to the guy, to the father, right? Baal Bito said to the father, won't mention any names now. Said to the father, yeah, be my guest, but I'm not merchel any monetary rights that I may have. Our Tosa didn't give that example. Where she says the favor, she'd be my guest, but I'm not merchel of monetary payments. And I thought for a good reason.
That's what the Tosafot here hold in a different interpretation. Not Pshat and its Tziluk. Not Pshat and its Mazik Rishus. But the Pshat is, it's not Mazik at all. You must step higher than that. After all, beer is not called a Mazik. The act of beer is a natural, it's a natural act, not like breaking a wall. Not called Mazik at all. Not called Mazik. Objectively, if you're ripping a wall, ripping clothes, it's called Mazik. I have to say, come do it, for it to be out of the category of Mazik. If it's Mazik for shoes, if I don't say you need potter, then you have to pay. But be it not that way. Be objectively is nothing, it's not harmful at all. It's not labeled as a Mazik, objectively. So therefore, if the woman is masking, so we say that it is not considered to be a situation of mazik in the first place. So perhaps even she would say, "No, I'm masking to this." But it cost your money, not much money, that's entirely the disaster. Once you're masking, it's not labeled as a damage. It could be a bit of a different...
Of course, I explain why when she's masking, but why? Because I don't think that's because... Why? Because
she's masking, but then not trying to label damage with an exemption. Krak, Susi, the Yipotah. Even more than that, if you look at the Lashon of the Ramban itself inside, it's mashma a little bit, it's even more than Mazik Birshus. I mean, less, more, I want to say. It's not a Mazik at all. The kids, what we did over here so far in explaining the idea of Mechila B'Knas, if it works, are we first letting you sow? Really, it shouldn't work. It's like Dava Shalom Aliyolam, because the Kri of Knas is only when Amad Abedin. If it works, so we suggest that there are two suggestions, each one we divided two pshat in each suggestion. One was the works we should see. Look. It's too early. Either it means the Maes of Achayim exists, or it's retroactive. The second shot in Iran is, quote from the Ramban, but no, it's like Kra Shiron V'Potter. Either means Mazik Rishus, like break my window, break my wall, or anything even better than that. But over here, what it really means, we look at the Lashon of the Ramban, it's more Mashma, that it's not labeled as a Mazik in the first place. Better than Mazik Rishus. Not called Mazik objectively. There are a number of Nafkaminas that I'm not going into now, because we're a little behind schedule already. I don't know how this happened. This is, I can't understand this. Now there's one more thing I have to discuss which relates to that mission in the fourth paragraph, which is what exactly is the nature of the obligation of Knas in terms of the interaction between the daughter and the father. We see in that Mishnah that if the Lord speaks aloud and then at Shemes Ha'av, that the Knas goes to her. Who's she? Who's she? Let it go to the Yorsha. So clearly, there's some kind of a unusual situation over here. But she has a shaykhess and he has a shaykhess. What exactly the nature of this dual relationship over here? So I want to tell you a piece from the stipula. We explained that there was three rambam, basically, I'm just adding a little bit, put it together. There's three rambams and writers, as she tells them, arguing at this point, comparing Beis of Knas. Triple issue customer. Let me first, before going into the who says what, let me just tell you what the two possibilities are. One possibility is like this. Really, the Chi of Knas is to the daughter. After all, he's the deal with the daughter. Except the father's Zocher from the daughter. The Mela. father dies, so the Mishnah says that it goes back to the daughter. That's one way to learn. Well, the chiyuv was really on to the daughter, and had it come to Amar Bedin, the father would have been the Baal Tovek, the daughter from the daughter, the father disappears from the scene. So the daughter naturally steps in. I mean, it's always right. Or no. No. Don't be so fudgy, don't be so hazy with this double kind of a... No. It's very clear cut. The chiyuv is totally to the father. Totally, absolutely. I, the Mishnah says the father dies, it goes to the daughter. Should it go to the father's son, etc.? No. The chiyuv is to the father. But if that chiyuv ceases to exist, for whatever reason, then a new chiyuv emerges. That was latent until that point. That chiyuv goes to the daughter. The terrace is, we have it in the background. Right, the back is dust, they're linked together, the two of them, the father and the daughter. You can't have one like the other. But if a mechila wouldn't work. Okay, well, I'm ready to turn the page, so I'll check the address.
Shouldn't
we say not ready yet, I'm ready. What?
Shouldn't we say together that the why do you say that?
That's the cash. We just get the cash, we just get the terrace. It's clear that mechila does not work. That's a fact. Otherwise, no mechila in the world. How does mechila print if mechila ever exist? Goes mechila. So the answer is, she cannot have the power to be mechila. The question is raised, if the chiyuv starts off with her and the father's also from her. Shvu